Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Do you need heavy equipment or farm equipment? Look no further than Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel. We have a wide selection of new and used equipment from many top brands. We also offer parts, service, and rentals. Whether you're a contractor, farmer, or just need help around the house, we have what you need. Southern Equipment is your one-stop shop for all farm and heavy equipment. Visit us at 5237 Highway 84 West and southernequipparts.com or call 601-651-4555.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Last day of the week, Super Talk Eagle Hour from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Laurel and Hattiesburg. Luke Johnson, Will Tony producing in Hattiesburg. I'm in Laurel. Happy to have you along. A little later, NFL draft preview with Patrick McGee of NOLA.com. Who will the Saints take in the first round? Last draft preview before the NFL draft. Of course, a huge weekend in Southern Miss Athletics, softball on the road. They're going to pull it off this weekend. We talked to Coach Poole yesterday, taking on the mighty Lady Raging Cajuns. Tennis against Old Dominion, beach volleyball, a lot going on. Baseball this weekend. Mike Federico brings the Warhawks into the Pete. First pitch tonight at 6 p.m. We're going to get to all of that this hour. First segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you every day by Dickie's Barbecue, located in a community near you. The sun shining, spring, summer, whatever you want to call it, here on the horizon. Lots of outdoor activities. Let Dickie's cater your next event, or just go eat the goodness of Dickie's Barbecue in our hometown team location, just outside the Turtle Creek Mall in Hattiesburg. Well, major changes, many feeling inevitable. But we told you yesterday, Division I Council of the NCAA making further changes to the transfer portal and to name, image, and likeness. Here to talk to us about that, gracious with his time as always, and many more things, Southern Miss Athletics Director Jeremy McClain. Hey, Jeremy, thanks so much, man, for your time today.
Oh, absolutely, man. I always enjoy spending some time with you guys.
We got the old codgers off today, so you don't have to worry about obscure references.
We're just kidding.
All right, Jeremy.
We'll tell all the secrets today when they're away.
That's exactly right. All right, let's tackle these so that I have this straight. So basically, unlimited transfers now, immediate eligibility. There is a degree requirement, and then you guys will be more involved in the NIL. So let's just kind of start with the portal and unpack that for us.
Yeah, so, and a couple of these changes are, as we've seen over the last few years, these have been driven by some things that have happened in the courtroom. And so we'll start with the transfer piece. You know, this was, as the transfer portal started, the rules basically were you could transfer one time and not have to sit during your undergraduate period. Then when you graduated, you had another opportunity to transfer. Well, this past winter, and we were on the right end of this decision because it helped us in basketball. It allowed Andre Curbelo to be immediately eligible. So this past winter, a judge in West Virginia ruled that it was that the NCAA could not restrict student athletes from moving from one institution to another. And so what they did was they basically put a temporary restraining order in place, and that's been in place since December. And so this was a move by the NCAA, by the Division I Council, to say, okay, this is what we've been told. Let's figure out how to make that happen. And as you mentioned, there's a couple of tweaks, you know, including progress toward degree requirements and some eligibility requirements. But as long as you check those boxes, you can transfer really at any point, or at least at the end of any semester or any year. And so that that is new to us. Obviously, that happened in the winter with the temporary restraining order, but now it's kind of quote-unquote official from an NCAA standpoint.
So will the windows as we know them continue, or is it basically a wide-open window now?
I think the windows will continue. I don't think that's going to change, at least not in the immediate future. I think that was something that, at least for the moment, something that hasn't been challenged. And so I do think that's healthy for everyone. You know, I don't agree with every aspect of it, but I think that's healthy from a standpoint of, hey, here's the window. You know, at some point you have to be able to understand what your roster is going to be. I think kids have to understand, you know, what their future is going to be. And so I think the windows allow us some level of certainty in a very uncertain environment. And so I don't think that's going to change. This decision definitely has not impacted that at this time.
Yeah, a couple of even tweaks to that. A coach, of course, if a head coach leaves, the window can expand. Or I think the graduate students, you can enter the portal at any time, but you have to enter it after your sports leave. So I guess first and foremost, how does that impact Southern Miss?
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of at least there's not a lot of change from what we've seen since December, right? And so we were prepared for this. I do think it changes maybe how we go about recruiting the portal a little bit. I think there was a time when, you know, student athletes had one shot to transfer. And so you might be more focused on, as you got into the portal, depending on the sport, our coaches might be more focused on getting a younger freshman, sophomore, because when they come to Southern Miss, you know you have them for 2 or 3 years. You can work on development. You can kind of take that at the right pace. And so it may impact some of that recruiting. You know, we may spend less time thinking about, you know, the student athlete who's only had 1 year in college and is transferring to us after his first year. There may be a shift to, you know, try to stay older and get players who are juniors and seniors. I think that's the one thing that's, you know, may change philosophy-wise. I'm not saying it will be this drastic shift, but I think the mindset starts to change a little bit because you know that, you know, they may come to you after their freshman year, but they can also transfer again after their sophomore year. And so I think you have to just balance what makes the most sense from a roster standpoint.
Visiting with Southern Miss Athletic Director Jeremy McClain, talking through the changes to the NCAA. All right, let's get into NIL. Previously, athletic departments not involved. The collective now, you're being invited into that conversation between collective and student athlete.
That's right. And you know, there's this also really is a byproduct of some legal action and court decisions, which, you know, if people hear a common theme here, that's very much accurate. I think a lot of the decision making right now has been driven by what we're allowed to do legally and not allowed to do. And there's been some kind of shifting in the winds, if you will, in that regard. And so this, you know, some of this anyway, really was driven out of some things that happened at the University of Tennessee, and the NCAA, you know, said, hey, you guys crossed the line. And that basically a judge got involved and said, you know, you can't do this. NCAA, you guys can't do what you're saying you want to do. And so I think the NCAA Division I Council had to take a step back and look and say, okay, what can we do? And that's not the only piece of this puzzle. We've got multiple states who are putting laws into place, including the state of Mississippi, that are signing bills that are saying, hey, our institutions need more freedom to be able to talk to student athletes, talk to collectives, and make sure that we're lining things up the way we need to. And so that's what's happening in this case. It's more like, as you mentioned, it's more of a, hey, let's take some of the handcuffs off here. In the past, we really had to be at arm's length as an institution in the discussion between the collective and the student athlete. And you know, what's going to happen here? What type of name, image, and likeness opportunities can you know, that student athlete secure with the collective? Now we can sit down at the table and not have to worry as much about what we can say and can't say. It's more of a, hey, let's get everyone at the table. Let's talk about what can be done for this student athlete, even as we're recruiting them as prospective student athletes. And that's a pretty big change. Yeah. And so that's this next step. And that's what we're seeing right now coming through. And again, that's been driven by a lot of things that have happened in our court system.
So to follow up to that, same thing with transfer changes, how does that impact Southern Miss? I mean, I think you just hinted at that. I mean, it's very with what Will has been shouting at the fan base shouting in, hey, this is our chance. This is our opportunity.
Yep. Yeah, and I think it even strengthens that kind of message. And, you know, Will and I have spent a lot of time talking about that. You know, it's more of – it really what it does for us is it allows us to make sure that young men who are coming in our program are protected and they're getting what they – you know, they're promised. And you know, we're getting them connected with the right people to make sure that they're maximizing their opportunities. So I think it helps us in many ways. I think it allows us to have conversations that we had to be careful about before. And so I think that's the thing. It kind of opens that door for us as an institution to say, hey, you know, young man, you're coming, or young woman, you're coming into our program. Let's sit down at the table with our collective and see what the opportunities are for you and what can be done as you come to campus.
Good stuff. We're visiting with Southern Miss Athletic Director Jeremy McClain. He's going to graciously stick around, and we're going to talk some football, some baseball, new jerseys for Southern Miss baseball. Exciting to talk about. Before we go to the commercial break, just a reminder, if you're in Hattiesburg this weekend, you need somewhere around campus, you got that sweet tooth, go see Mobe Beignet on Hardy Street, right across from the campus. Coffee, frozen drinks, iced coffee, and they will cook your beignets fresh. We will continue with Jeremy McClain from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel as the Eagle Hour continues on a Friday.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Friday marches on the Eagle Hour, second segment brought to you every day by Campus Bookmark. Located on Hardy Street, the big gold building across from the main entrance to campus, the place to go for all your Golden Eagle swag, Campus Bookmark and campusbookmark.net. We continue from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel, Luke Johnson, Will Tony producing. We continue with Jeremy McClain, Southern Miss Athletics Director. We were walking through the NIL and the transfer changes just to kind of bookend that, Jeremy. People continue to give to the Top Collective. And like we were talking about during the break, this NIL bit really allows everybody to be at the same table, the collective, the athletics department, and the student athlete, where there's absolutely no miscommunication. Everybody knows what's going on going in.
Yeah, and I think that's the most beneficial part of this is a little bit of protection for the student athlete, and again, making sure that everyone is at the table, as you said, and everyone's on the same page.
Good stuff. All right, let's move on to football. Season tickets, of course, this is the time of the year we renew season tickets, athletic department. Some dates coming up people need to know about and some things for our season ticket holders.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that's a great, you know, it's that time of year, right? And so, great opportunity to talk about that a little bit. Really important time for us. We got renewal deadlines coming up, and you know, got different points throughout the year where you know, there's certain benefits attached to that. We'll have another deadline coming up here at the end of May, and I think that's the big one, right? So I want to encourage everyone to get those season tickets renewed over the course of the next month, and you know, don't let that get into June and then be scrambling to try to make sure you get your seat. I want to make sure that those folks who, you know, been in their seats for a while, get the ones they want. And certainly the sooner we get people renewed, the greater the opportunity is for our staff to really focus on new season tickets. And so that's one of the reasons we kind of pushed to get some of that done early in the year, and that frees up some bandwidth and some time for our folks to begin to try to bring new people into the mix. And that's what we're always trying to do, is continue to grow the brand, grow the numbers, grow the crowds. And so I want to encourage folks to, if you haven't already, to make sure you get those season tickets renewed, you know, here over the next several weeks.
Yeah, the on Southern Miss website, talking about those renewal, if you renew by April 24th and you've got 5 days to do it, 10 of 10 renewers will get Eagle Club prizes. 5 will get complimentary upgrade to Eagle Perch seat. So a lot of stuff for that. Let's talk about a football, diving in a little more. I was talking to somebody. I was talking to Richard Cross on Wednesday. We were kind of talking about the layout of the Sun Belt. It's really interesting that there's been so much movement head coach wise with football, but in the West. You're looking around, and what Kenny now is the third longest tenured coach in his second year, and Arkie State with Butch, he's in year 3, I think, and Will's in year 4. I mean, it's just been so much movement inside the Sun Belt.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the challenges, right? When you have, especially when you have success, you know, Troy and Sal come to mind, certainly at different levels of success, but you know, is trying to keep all that together and keep the coaching staff in place, keep your roster in place. That's kind of the game. That's what comes with success now, and that's the game we play a little bit, is, you know, we're having to fight kind of year in, year out to do all those things. And so anytime you have, you know, head coach turnover, especially, like you said, the number of teams in our on our side of the league that have had turnover, it really is kind of feels like, you know, it's kind of quote-unquote wide open, so to speak. There's just going to be a lot of new that, you know, not a lot of new in the league that people aren't familiar with and we just don't know about. And so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Teams coming into the Rock this year: Marshall, South Alabama, Arkansas State, Louisiana, and then, of course, at the top, Southeastern and South Florida. Fans always wanting to some to be reminded, but some that haven't heard kind of your philosophy and the philosophy at the athletic department in scheduling. And one of those reasons why you want to renew your season tickets is, oh, by the way, Mississippi State comes in next year. Yeah. We've got some other big games coming in. As you kind of look forward now that some of these get scheduled out, you know, 6, 7, 8 years in advance, what is your philosophy for football scheduling?
Yeah, you know, there's a pretty simple approach to it for us. Now, it isn't always perfectly fit. It's like this big jigsaw puzzle that we're always trying to kind of make the pieces fit. But really what we want to do is most years we're going to go on the road and play a team that's going to be what we call a guarantee game, and then we're also going to bring in an FCS team to play at home. We're going to try to play regionally when we can for all those games, and then we're going to try to get 2 home and home matchups and make sure we've got at least 6 home games. And again, those matchups, we're trying our best to get regional opponents that our folks can kind of resonate with. And there's some, you know, level of excitement. I think South Florida is a really good, you know, going into this year is a really good matchup for us, because that's a team that we're familiar with. And obviously has a really, really strong program. New staff has done a great job there. They had a great year last year. And so, you know, that's one example. We've got Memphis on the schedule coming up. That's another for sure, Tulane. So we're trying to create, you know, some of that non-conference excitement, if you will, and really balance that with playing the right people, making sure you're scheduling for success, which sometimes, you know, when you're scheduling 6 and 8 years out, there's really no way to forecast, especially in our day and age where you've got coach and roster turnover at such a frequent rate. It's really no way to forecast, hey, you know, how good is this team going to be when we play them? Are they going to be good enough? Or are they going to be great? We just don't know. But we do our best to try to make sure that the teams we're putting on the schedule are teams that make sense for us, you know, one way or the other. They're checking one of those boxes that we're talking about.
I've tried to do your work in some ways. I was doing an interview a few years ago with Keith Carter, and I just straight up asked him, hey, when are you going to schedule some football? And his response was, well, look, I think we're scheduled for the next decade. Just want to throw it out there. You don't have to comment, but props to Mississippi State for playing.
Yeah, all right. No, absolutely. I would agree with you 100%. We're glad Mississippi State is willing to do that, and something we're looking forward to.
Let's move on to you're not supposed to have a favorite sport, but you do. It's baseball. You're really good at it. And ULM coming in this weekend. And in the middle of this season, I mean, the Sun Belt is a gauntlet. Just comment about that, and then I want to ask you about this weekend, a special Sunday game.
Yeah, I think, as a matter of fact, I was talking to the commissioner yesterday, you know, from a baseball perspective. We were just talking about just how strong the league is. And, you know, we're anytime you have a league that this, and I'll compare this to football too, you're the risk you always run is that you beat up on each other so much that you have a lot of teams that are kind of in the middle of the pack, or they kind of, you know, the records look similar. And so, we've kind of done some of that in baseball. I think, you know, there's no easy weekends. There's no opportunity to really relax. You've got a lot of really good programs in this league. And so you have to find a way to separate yourself a little bit. And I think obviously these next few weeks are going to be critical for us to try to create some separation and to put ourselves in a position to be one of the top couple of teams in the league. Because I think at the end of the day, when we think about postseason, you know, this is a 3 or 4 bid league. As long as we don't just keep beating up on each other the way we have over the first several weeks. But I'm optimistic about what that looks like postseason-wise. It is a very, very difficult league. And like I said, it's just day in and, you know, it's weekend. Every weekend, day in and day out, is just a grind for us. And we just got to continue to find ways to win series. And if we can do that, we'll look up at the end of the year and be in a good spot.
Good stuff. Couple minutes left. ULM coming in this weekend. We spoke to Coach Federico yesterday. Special game Sunday. Southern Miss always supporting the military. We have something very special in South Mississippi called Camp Shelby that has literally impacted world wars and the war on terror from our own backyard. Yesterday, the huge announcement, the replica Camp Shelby baseball jerseys during World War II, our good friend Tommy Lofton, and everybody at Camp Shelby from the Armed Forces Museum. I think there you had just so much national buzz yesterday, Jeremy. This is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, really proud of our staff and really thankful to Camp Shelby. The folks out there really, you know, this has been an 8-month conversation, right? So it takes a lot to kind of get to this point. And they have been just awesome about bringing ideas to the table and saying, hey, we really like to do this. We want to help you here. And they've been amazing partners, and which comes as no surprise to me. We get to work with them in different ways, and they're first class, as you would expect. And I'm just thankful we get an opportunity to partner with them and have a day like Sunday to put out the jerseys and just make sure that we're able to tip our cap to them and say thank you and show some appreciation. So really, really excited about the way it turned out, and proud of our folks for putting in the work to make it happen.
So those jerseys will be worn by the team on Sunday. It is Military Appreciation Day. Free admission for military with valid ID. That is active duty and retired members. And I'm sure, Jeremy, in your office sometime, one day, there will be one of these hung up. And you might even wear it to a Southern Miss game. But I tell you what, as we wrap up, what you're looking at of the boys this weekend on the diamond.
Yeah, really excited, about it's a big weekend for us for sure. And, feel like we've been doing some things really well over the last 3 weeks, especially swinging the bats. I think the lineup's kind of been taking shape. But, you know, of course, we got some weather coming in this weekend. I'll tell folks we're going to make some decisions probably later today on some game times for Saturday and Sunday specifically. Saturday looks kind of tough, so we're going to try to find a window there. But keep your eyes and ears open for some game time changes. Later today, we'll try to make sure we over-communicate that, but just want to make sure everyone's paying attention to that.
Good stuff. Hey, man, thanks for your time. Thanks for all that you do.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Jeremy McClain, athletic director for Southern Miss. We'll step aside and talk some NFL with Patrick McGee as the Engel Hour continues on a Friday.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Great stuff with Jeremy McClain. Always gracious with his time. Athletics director at Southern Miss. If you missed those interviews, really important. the changes that the NCAA has announced this week involving NIL and involving the transfer portal. Jeremy walked us through that in the first segment. Second segment, important, you got 5 days before one renewal deadline. Then you got to the end of May, but an opportunity to win an upgrade if you register or if you renew your season tickets before April 25th. We also talked about the Camp Shelby baseball jerseys this week. My friend Tommy Lofton from the Mississippi Armed Forces Museum at Camp Shelby will be on Monday after we talk to Christian Ostrander about the weekend. Tommy's going to give us the historical bit and the history behind baseball at Camp Shelby in World War II and where the jerseys came from. Really, really excited to talk
to
him. Third segment.
Looks so good.
Yeah, they look really good. If you can actually buy one version of them already. Go to Southern Miss Baseball on Twitter. They've got the link there. Third segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you every day by 4th Street Bar and Grill, located on 4th Street, home of the 1095 lunch. Comes with a free drink. Go see our good friend Slade White at 4th Street Bar and Grill in Hattiesburg. Well, it's Friday, and the last Friday before the NFL draft. And as always, Patrick McGee from New Orleans and NOLA.com joins us. And Patrick, I guess it was even before with Nashville, now this year in Detroit, and with the year that Detroit had, the NFL draft now just it's like a cultural sensation. I mean, I don't know if Detroit's going to do what Nashville did, but I mean, it was pretty wild just to see people going to the draft, even if you weren't, you know, necessarily a hardcore fan. It has become something else.
Yeah, it's becoming a thing now, and some of the venues they've picked are pretty fun. I have the sadistic idea of just holding a Jazz Fest and NFL Draft happen to coincide. Why don't they just use one of the stages at Jazz Fest for the NFL Draft and really make it a spectacle? That's my New Orleans proposition. But yeah, the draft thing has become a big deal, and you know, I didn't really know what to think whenever they're going to move it to other locations, but obviously it's become a thing, and fans really enjoy it.
Round 1, 7 p.m. Central Time on Thursday, rounds 2 through 3 on Friday, rounds 4 through 7 on Saturday. Before we get into Saints pick, I mean, it seems like historically the Saints have not found their franchise players, Lattimore maybe, and a few more. They really haven't found them in the first round. I mean, it's been Colson's the obvious example, but I mean, the mid rounds too have been very good to the Saints. And so I think Saints fans over the years have not said, well, if we didn't draft somebody in round one, we had a terrible draft. I think they've learned to appreciate how this franchise, you know, grades talent and how they sometimes secure it in later rounds.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe Chris Olave's got that kind of potential to maybe be considered a franchise guy here pretty soon. Of course, the pinning picks has not worked out. So, yeah, I mean, the Saints, whenever the Saints have a good draft, it seems, is because they really evaluated well through the second to the fifth round. And I guess some of the picks that really haven't worked out have been some of the quarterbacks. We'll see if Haynick, you know, if he's able to kind of catch on. But, yeah, I mean, the Saints have done a good job of identifying guys. I mean, gosh, I think 2017 was the year when they really just knocked it out of the park. And ever since then, it's kind of been up and down in draft-wise. But I think the one thing that they've done such a good job over the stretch is identifying talent at defensive back and really on the defensive side of the ball. For the most part, they're bringing linebackers and guys in secondary that can really help out.
Since, this is interesting, since 1998, they've had 11 first-round picks that have turned into Pro Bowls. But yeah. Since 2013, so 2012, they didn't have a first-round pick. Since 2013, only two have turned into Pro Bowl athletes, Pete and Lattimore, which is, you know, you think Olave will obviously turn that. But, yeah, to your point, it's either, for the most part, it's been cornerback or D-line in the last 7 years. All right, last 10 years. Let's just talk draft as a whole. We will probably have three quarterbacks that go off the board, 1, 2, 3, correct?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Jaden Daniels, of course, down where you are, and I think it's kind of he will go number 2 to the Commanders. They got rid of Sam Howell. I mean, do you think he's a good rookie season now in the NFL. If you throw, 17 touchdowns, 16 touchdowns as a rookie, I mean, that's promising. 20 is exceptional. Do you think he has that in him, or what possibly, causes you concern after having watched Jaden Daniels for quite some time?
I think he's somebody that's really progressed. I think he had one down year at Arizona State, but other than that, I think you've seen a pretty steady progression out of him, and I think at LSU he got stronger and just, it really became more refined as a passer. I don't know if I would compare him. I think he and Dak Prescott are different types of quarterbacks, but I could see him becoming something similar, just a more athletic version of a Dak Prescott. And that's pretty decent praise, I would think. So I think he's got that kind of potential, and I think maybe he's got a higher ceiling than Dak Prescott. He's a little taller. He's a little more athletic. And I think he can maybe consider Jaden Daniels a little bit better pass, more of a natural passer, say, in Prescott. I thought there were serious holes in Prescott's game as a passer coming out of the college, but then, he shows up in Dallas, he's making a lot of throws he didn't make in college. And I could easily see Jaden Daniels, who I think is a fairly complete passer as a college player. I think as a pro, he becomes better. I think Jaden Daniels has got a pretty high ceiling.
For our listeners, there's some stories out there about how they put him in virtual reality in a headset, and they actually sped up the defense and it really helped him. I think that happened at LSU, where he was able to process the game faster. So Caleb Williams to the Bears, looks like Daniels to the Commanders. It gets maybe a little interesting. Maybe Drake May from North Carolina to the Patriots. You won't have a quarterback then till, maybe McCarthy goes to the Vikings. Speaking of Louisiana, again, neighbors may go to the Chargers. But then, Patrick, other than quarterbacks, is what the Saints are looking at. You've got four offensive tackles really supposed to go in the top 15. Joe Alt from Notre Dame. I think we had trouble with pronouncing his name. Fashanu from Penn State. Latham from Alabama. And then Fuega from Oregon State. We talked about Fashanu, but it's one of those things. They're all tackles. They're all big. If you're talking about the first 15 rounds of the NFL draft, is it obviously if there's two there, Saints go with their highest graded one. But I mean, if any of those guys are there in the top 15, you would think the Saints would seize on them.
Yeah, I mean, if you believe the mock draft, I think everything kind of points to Fashanu, the Penn State offensive tackle, and it makes sense. I mean, I think everybody kind of assumed it's going to be a tackle. And the other guys you mentioned, Fuaga is one of those guys, Fatanu. Those guys all kind of fit the mold, and I think, that's where everybody kind of thinks they're going. And at this point, I would be pretty stunned. I know this time next week I'll be, writing, or before early next week I'll be writing some features, ahead of time, in case one of those guys ends up getting drafted by the Saints. And right now I'd be pretty stunned if it's not one of those three guys, because there's going to be quality options at the tackle position at that point in the draft. And I just don't see how the Saints don't take advantage, considering the issues they have both at left and right tackle.
When we talk next week, we will know the first-round pick and whether or not it's an offensive tackle. Saints only have one pick on Friday, 45th from Denver. They have a ton on Saturday. They have four round five picks, two round six, and one seventh. All those, they got three compensatory or comp picks. Do you see them either trading up into the third or trading higher in the second?
Well, one scenario that makes sense is that they trade down from 14 a couple of spots and maybe give themselves another draft pick, say fourth or fifth round. Something like I can see that happen. Say if they're sitting there at 14 and they have multiple guys they like, and they can trade back a couple of spots if somebody wants to move up. I could see that happening a lot. But they have so many three, four picks in the fifth round.
They have four.
Yeah, it makes sense for they kind of move those around. If they can move up a little, get back up and, a little bit higher in the draft in the second and third round, especially a third round, like you said.
Do you think we will see the immediate Clint Kubiak emphasis, or will it be, it's make or break for Allen. He's trying to do the best he can with his offensive coordinator. I mean, are they going to go, think they might go offense, or do you think they may get a defensive player in round two?
I mean, I just don't think they have any choice. I think this is going to be a hot offense-heavy draft, and they've got to let, you know, Kubiak kind of identify the guys that he wants in that system. You know, obviously Allen's going to have a guy or two that he likes and they'll let him go after, but whether it's the offensive line or depth of receiver, maybe even another running back, we all see how that's been kind of up and down. Kamara's getting a little older now, even though he's still playing a high level. So I just don't see how they just kind of, to me, just hand the draft over to Kubiak and just let him identify the guys that fit into his system.
Good stuff. Well, Patrick, we always appreciate your time. We'll see you next week. I'm going to go right there with you. They're going to take an offensive tackle. You and I will be right or wrong next Friday. Thanks for your time, man. Have a great weekend.
All right, y'all too.
It's Patrick McGee from the NOLA.com. I was going to say, I could say formerly of the Sun Herald, but he's with NOLA.com. Great friend of the Eagle Hour, been on with us from day one. NFL Draft in Detroit next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday should be fun. Lots of stuff going on in Southern Miss Athletic World Sun Belt Conference. We'll talk about it after these commercial messages.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Final segment of the week brought to you by DBAT on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. 8 batting cages. Great instruction. Pro Shop. It's all there at DBAT. Go find out everything they got going on online. DBATHattiesburg.com. Luke Johnson, Will Tony from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. And Laurel, remind you also our good friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg, brand new showroom. We'll be there next week. I think next Friday we'll be at Genesis of Hattiesburg. Great showroom, great cars. Genesis of Hattiesburg, proud sponsor of the Eagle Hour. Just going back to Patrick McGee, finishing up on the New Orleans Saints. So across their draft pick history, these are the go a little old school for you here. These are the draft selections that ended up being Pro Bowls. 1970, Ken Burrow. 1971, Archie Manning. Chuck Muncy in 76. Wes Chandler in 78. Ironhead Craig Hayward in 88. Wayne Martin in 89. Ronaldo Turnbull in 1990. Of course, Willie Rofe. Joe Johnson, Kyle Turley, Ricky Williams, Deuce McAllister, Will Smith, Jamal Brown, Malcolm Jenkins, Cameron Jordan, Mark Ingram, Andrews Pete, and then Marshawn Lattimore. No Saint first-round pick since 2017 has turned out to be a Pro Bowl. Of course, we think, obviously, Chris Olave will probably change that. All right, softball on the road against Louisiana. First pitch tonight at 6 p.m. Of course, you can catch that on ESPN+. Women's tennis will be on the road tomorrow at Arkansas State, their last conference matchup of the season before the Sun Belt Conference Championship next week in Rome, Georgia. Men in Rome, Georgia, today as the Sun Belt Conference tournament starts. They're taking on two-seeded Old Dominion. Track and field will continue the outdoor season tomorrow. Down in Baton Rouge in Red Stick for the LSU Alumni Gold Meet at the Bernie Moore Stadium in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Event starts at 10 a.m. Of course, I think all of that is on ESPN Plus as well. Beach volleyball at the NOLA Classic in Elmwood, Louisiana. Ladies just underway with Cal Poly. They'll take on ULM later today and then Tulane tonight. So a triple header for Southern Miss Beach volleyball. Little shake-up as we get ready for the weekend. the starting rotations for the Golden Eagles announced against ULM. Here's the change. Tonight, Billy Oldham, right-hander Billy Oldham, the senior, 4-1, a 4.17 ERA. He will be taking on Cam Barlow that Mike Federico told us about yesterday in our interview with him. So Billy pitching tonight. Tomorrow, ULM throwing Bo Blanchard and Southern Miss throwing the infamous TBA. Why is TBA throwing tomorrow? Because Nico Mazza is now throwing on Sunday. So the rotation, usually with Mazza, Oldham, and Armistead, has now been changed. Oldham, not sure who will throw tomorrow, probably based off what the bullpen looks like tonight. Could be Armistead tomorrow, could be Best. Who knows? Sively might throw tomorrow. Don't know. Don't know who they'll start tomorrow, but Nico Mazza now starting on Sunday. And ULM, as Coach Federico said yesterday, will not name a starter yet for Sunday. So good stuff with Jeremy McClain earlier in the show. If you missed that, you can go back and listen. Eagle Hour on demand at supertalk.fm or catch the Eagle Hour in podcast form, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Audible. Or you can just ask Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Will, college baseball, but some high school baseball going around in the Pine Belt as well.
Yeah, for those that don't know, SupertalkLaurel.com has been carrying the Jones County baseball games between Northeast, West, South, and Laurel. Northeast Jones starts their playoff run tonight. They'll host Forest County AHS at 7 o'clock in the Jungle. We will not have that game tonight. But you can follow on Twitter, and we will post updates as well as we can on our Facebook page for Supertalk Laurel 99.3. And we'll try to get some more playoff games in starting next week.
Wes Jones and South Jones both in the playoffs. Congratulations to Trey Sutton, by the way, our former Southern Miss baseball player, now head coach at Wes Jones. He and his wife welcoming a brand new baby, so congratulations to them as well. I have had a visitor, not in here with me, but the newest Wind Pigler has been in the studio.
Oh, he's in studio. All right.
Mr. Abe Wind Pigler making his appearance.
There you go.
Looking good. Thankfully, he looks like his mama.
That's a good thing.
And not like his dad. Yeah. So anyway, congratulations to Ben Shelby again as baby Abe made his appearance earlier in the month. All right, Sunbelt baseball tonight as we wrap up. Louisiana at Coastal. That's what you want to watch. It's in Conway. That is the series to watch this weekend when you're not watching the Eagles. Old Dominion at Marshall. Georgia Southern at James Madison. App State at Archie State. Georgia State at Troy. South Al at Texas State. Of course, the Golden Eagles hosting ULM. Go out, cheer on the Eagles. Let's get a sweep this weekend against ULM. For Will Tony, Bob Getty, and Kelly Sander. Kelly will be back Monday. Bob will be back later next week. I'm Luke Johnson signing off. Have a great weekend. And as always, Southern Miss.
To the top. Slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.